Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki. ISKCON founder Chari Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveda Bhaktivedanta ki jai. Gaura Pivananda. All glorious to Simo devotees. All glorious to Simo devotees. All glorious to Simo devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Devanta. Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Kinamani Namaste Sarasvati Gaura Vani Vicharani Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pasipatari Sipatari. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Passing Away of Bhishma, Text 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Anye cha manayo brahman,
anye cha manayo brahman,
brahmara tadayo mala, shishyaya rupeta ajagmu,
shishyaya rupeta ajagmu,
asya pan girash sadaya,
asya pan girash sadaya,
anye cha manayo brahman,
anye cha manayo Thank you.
Anye,
Anye,
many others.
Cha,
also. Munaya,
sages.
Brahman,
O
Brahmanas. Brahmarata, Shukadeva Swami. Adaya, and such others. Amala,
completely purified.
Shishai, by the disciples. Upeta,
accompanied.
Ajagmu, arrived. Kashyapa, Kashyapa. Angirasha,
Angirasa.
Adaya,
others.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And many others like Shukadeva Goswami and other purified souls, Kashyapa and Angirasha and others, all accompanied by their respective disciples, arrived there. Purport. Shukadeva Goswami, Brahmarata, the famous son and disciple of Srila Vyasadeva, who taught him first the Mahabharata and then Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami recited 1,400,000 verses of the Mahabharata in the councils of the Gandharvas, Yakshas, and Rakshasas, and he recited Srimad Bhagavatam for the first time in the presence of Maharaj Parikshit. He thoroughly studied all the Vedic literatures from his great father. Thus, he was a completely purified soul by dint of his extensive knowledge in the principles of religion. The Mahabharata, Shabda Parva, is understood that he was also present in the royal assembly of Maharaj Yudhisthira and at the fasting of Maharaj Parikshit. As a bona fide disciple of Sri Vyasadeva, he inquired from his father very extensively about religious principles and spiritual values, and his great father also satisfied him by teaching him the yoga system by which one can attain the spiritual kingdom, the difference between fruitive work and empiric knowledge, the ways and means of attaining spiritual realizations, the four ashrams, namely student life, householder life, retired life, and the renounced life, the sublime position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the process of seeing Him eye to eye, the bona fide candidate for receiving knowledge, the consideration of the five elements, the unique positions of intelligence, the consciousness of the material nature and the living entity, the symptoms of the self-realized soul, and the working principles of the material body, the symptoms of the influential modes of nature, the tree of perpetual desire, and psychic activities. Sometimes he went to the sun planet with the permission of his father in Naradaji. Descriptions of his travel in space are given in the Shanti Parva Mahabharata. At last he attained the transcendental realm. He's known by different names like Araneya, Arunishuta, Vyasaki, and Vyasmaja. Next, Kashyapa. One of the Prajapatis, the son of Marichi and one of the son-in-laws of Prajapati Daksha. He's the father of the gigantic bird Garuda, who was given elephants and tortoises as edibles. He married 13 daughters of Prajapati Daksha, and their names are Aditi, Diti, Danu, Kashta, Arista, Surasa, Ila, Muni, Krodavasha, Tamra, Surabhi, Sarama, and Timi. He begot many children, both demigods and demons, by those wives. From his first wife Aditi, all the 12 Adityas were born. One of them is Vamana, the incarnation of Godhead. This great sage Kashyapa was also present at the time of Arjuna's birth. He received a presentation of the whole world from Parashuram, and later on he asked Parashuram to go out of the world. His other name is Aristanemi. He lives on the northern side of the universe. Angirashu. He is the son of Maharaj Angira and is known as Brihaspati, the priest of the demigods. It is said that Dronacharya was his partial incarnation. Sukracharya was the spiritual master of the demons, and Brihaspati challenged him. His son is Kacha, and he delivered the fire weapon first to Padaraj Muni. He begot six sons, like the fire god, by his wife Chandramasi, one of the reputed stars. He could travel in space, and therefore he could present himself even in the planets of Brahmaloka and Indraloka. He advised the king of heaven, Indra, about conquering the demons. Once he cursed Indra, who thus had to become a hog on the earth and was unwilling to return to heaven. Such is the power of the attraction of illusory energy. Even a hog does not wish to part with its earthly possessions in exchange for the heavenly kingdom. He was the religious preceptor of the natives of different planets. So in this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Grandfather Bhishma's lying on the bed of arrows at the end of the great battle of Kurukshetra. And because of his greatness, so many of these, you know, great personalities, renowned souls that we've been reading about in the last couple of verses are coming to see him. And for two reasons. First, just out of respect for him as such a great Vaishnava, but also to hear from him. We know Bhishma is actually one of the 12 Mahajans, one of the great authorities on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And so, as this chapter progresses, he will enlighten the whole assembly in many, many areas of religion, spirituality, and ultimately, Krishna consciousness. Because he understands that the greatest spiritual truth is devotional service to Krishna. And he mentions the residents of Vrindavan and others as exemplars of that to the assembly. So, of all the different personalities that have come to see him in his last days here, three of them are mentioned in this verse, Brihaspati, Kashyapa Muni, and Shivadeva Goswami. Brihaspati is, of course, the acclaimed guru of the demigods. There are many different pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam where he's mentioned as being integral, and Prabhupada mentions several of those in the purport. I probably won't say too much more about Brihaspati because it seems to be that probably covered it well in the purport. Kashyapa Muni was a great, great soul. In this lifetime, he had many wives, 13, was it? And Aditi and Diti were the main ones. Aditi was the mother of the demigods, and Diti, you know, Aditi was, Nagdita, Diti, that word is like Daitya, right? Similar, meaning demons. So Diti was the mother of demons, and Aditi, of course, is the opposite, not a demon, but a devotee. So Aditi was the mother of the demigods. Now what happened was, you know how it goes back and forth, you know, in the great battles between the demons and the demigods. And at this particular time, the demons had won, or at least they had temporarily conquered the demigods. And this very much aggrieved Aditi, because these were her children. So she went to her husband, Kashyapa Muni, and said, I have to do something about this. So anyway, after that appeal, she did great austerities. Kashyapa also did great austerities. And they had a son. That son was Vamanadeva. Of course, we all know the story how Vamadeva tricked Bali Maharaj, who was the head of the demons, king of the demons at that time, bound him in ropes, and ultimately restored the universe to the demigods, as well as, of course, had wonderful pastime with Bali Maharaj, with his devotee. Kashyapa was not just known for being the father of Vamadeva, but he actually got a great benediction from Krishna due to his austerities. He and his wife, Krishni and Sutapa, did great austerities for thousands of years, and Krishna awarded them that he would become their son three times in three lifetimes. So Kashyapa as Sutapa gave birth to through the incarnation of Krishna, Krishna Garba, and as Kashyapa, along with Aditi, he had Vamanadeva as a son, and finally, in their last birth, Aditi and Kashyapa became Devaki and Vasudeva, and gave birth to Krishna directly. So you can only imagine what an exalted personality Kashyapa Muni is, that he was given the opportunity to have Krishna as his son, as Vasudeva. I'm just going to read that, how this is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is 10th canto, 3rd chapter, starting with verse 32. The Supreme Personality of God had replied, this is after he appears and he gets offered prayers by his mother and father. He says, my dear mother, best of the chaste, in your previous birth in the Swayambhuva millennium, you were known as Krishna, and Vasudeva, who was the most pious Prajapati, was named Sutapa. When both of you were ordered by Lord Brahma to create progeny, you first underwent severe austerity by controlling your senses. My dear father and mother, you endured rain, wind, strong sun, scorching heat, and severe cold, suffering all kinds of inconveniences according to different seasons. By practicing pranayama to control the air within the body through yoga, and by eating only air and dry leaves fallen from the trees, you cleansed from your mind all dirty things. In this way, desiring a benediction from me, you worship me with peaceful minds. Thus you spent 12,000 celestial years performing difficult activities of the tapasya and consciousness of me. We only have to get our rounds done each day. Think of 12,000 celestial years of eating leaves. Okay. O sinless Mother Devaki, after the expiry of 12,000 celestial, not just years, celestial years, in which you constantly contemplated me within the core of your hearts with great faith, devotion, and austerities, I was very much satisfied with you. Since I am the best of all bestowers of benediction, I appeared in the same form as Krishna to ask you to take for me the benediction you desired. You then expressed your desire to have a son exactly like me. Since I found no one else has highly elevated you in simplicity and other qualities of good character, I appeared in this world as Krishna Garba, or one who is celebrated as having taken birth from Krishna. In the next millennium, I again appeared from the two of you, who appeared as my mother Aditi and my father Kashyapa. And I was known as Upendra, because of being a dwarf, I was also known as Vamana. O supremely chaste mother, I, the same personality, have now appeared to you both as your son for the third time. Take my words as truth. Both of you, husband and wife, constantly think of me as your son, but always know that I am the supreme personality of Godhead. By thus thinking of me constantly with love and affection, you will achieve the highest perfection of returning home back to Godhead. So that was Kashyapa's great benediction. Now turn to Shukadeva Goswami. I'm going to say a few words about him and then address at least one of the philosophical points that Prabhupada makes in his purport. Shukadeva Goswami, of course, was the great speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He had extensive realization. He's able to speak on all areas of Vedic knowledge. It's mentioned in the purport that he spoke the entire Mahabharata. I didn't really remember that. I realized that before, that he, besides the Srimad Bhagavatam, that he had many pastimes speaking the Vedic literatures in many different areas. But of course, we know him best as the speaker of the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada said it was the first time that it was spoken. I assume that means first time on this planet, because Bhagavatam is eternal. But in different forms, different variations. In other words, the Bhagavatam we know is what Shukadeva Goswami recited 5,000 years ago to the to Maharishi Bricket, and was heard by the sages, including Shukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami, etc. So he had great realization in all these different areas. Prabhupada mentions, I'm not sure where this is from, but he mentions all these different areas of knowledge that Shukadeva covered. But of course, his highest realization was knowing Krishna and Krishna's loving relationships with his devotees. And therefore, he was able to authoritatively speak the Bhagavatam, and particularly the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vraja Lila that is there, where he had the great and deepest realization to be able to confer this understanding and knowledge of these wonderful relationships between Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan. And so the Bhagavatam is considered by basically all Vaishnavas and by all of our acharyas as like the gold standard. Now, in other words, you read something by Jiva Goswami or Sanatana Goswami, and to substantiate every point they make, they quote Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is really the highest literature for the Vaishnavas, the devotees of Krishna. One of the very important philosophical points is how we understand the Bhagavatam and how we understand Vedic literature. Shukadeva Goswami is, of course, an eternal associate. He's a self-realized soul, but he demonstrates the process of how one receives Vedic knowledge so that we would know. And he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam in the systematic succession. In today's purport, Srila Prabhupada says, as a bona fide disciple of Srila Vyasadeva, he inquired from his father very extensively about religious principles, the spiritual values, and his great father satisfied him by teaching him the yoga system, etc. So
even though being an eternal associate, he more or less knew all the philosophy, he shows us example. And of course, not only shows us example, but was so enlivened and enlightened himself by hearing from Vyasadeva all of the philosophy, all the Vedic literature, and of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he remained in the womb of his mother for 16 years, poor woman, to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. But also, of course, he didn't want the big birth in the material world. He said, why should I come out into this horrible material world? But after he heard Vyasadeva speaking about Krishna and speaking about Bhagavatam, he became enlivened to take birth and be able to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam, to be for the benefit of all of humanity. And that was his mission, of course. So he was able to speak to the entire assembly, of course, mostly to Maharaj Parikit, but there were many, many great souls that were also there, hearing his recitation for 7 days to Maharaj Parikit. And so we see by this example of the result of associating and hearing from pure devotees. Just as Shukadeva Goswami heard from the pure devotee Vyasadeva, became fully enlightened, he spoke to Maharaj Parikit, who became fully enlightened. Maharaj, it's interesting, I mentioned this in my class the other day, that I guess I knew this, but I didn't quite realize that Maharaj Parikit afterwards, it's not like it was all done, then he recites the whole Brihad Bhagavatamrita to his mother Udra. This is the way this civic succession goes on. As one devotee becomes enlightened by the spiritual philosophy of his guru, then he gives that, or she gives that philosophy to others. So Jiva Goswami talks about this a little bit in his Bhakti Sandarbha. This is from Anucheta 11. First he quotes the Bhagavatam, 1.2.16. O twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. So by our service to the spiritual master, and one of the services, of course, of hearing, we gain more attraction, more affinity for hearing. And then we want to more and more understand this philosophy, and then, and in turn, we want more and more to serve Krishna and Guru. Jiva Goswami says, generally, taste develops by association with great devotees. By serving great devotees, taste for the Lord's topics develop. When meeting those devotees, one develops faith in worshiping the Lord, then desire to hear. From hearing, taste develops. Hearing from great devotees has immediate effect. So in other words, as we hear the Bhagavatam from the pure devotees, then one develops some attraction, some taste. Even though we may be very neophyte and we're still sadhakas, we start to experience a little bit of that taste when we hear about Krishna, when we hear the philosophy from a self-realized soul. Then Jiva quotes another very, very wonderful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.25. Sitam prashadam mam virya samido bhavanti hridhanarasasayanai kata kajanasat ashva pavarga bhartmani shradavatir bhakti anakramashyati. Nice verse. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating of such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation. And therefore he is free, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. This is a really nice description of the process of the devotional service, and by how hearing, becoming attracted to the Lord, our devotional service increases more and more, and then real devotion is there. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, the process of advancing in Krishna consciousness and devotional service is described here. The first point is one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of devotees, because without the association of devotees, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. So that's very, very nice. And for the same verse, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur adds this in his purport. Only by association with the devotees does the mind develop attraction to the Lord. The stages are described here. The previous verse mentioned that association should be desired, then faith first arises. From excellent association of devotees, stories of my pastimes become nectar for the ears. From inferior association, there is only bhajana kriya, but the stories do not become nectar. Thus, from excellent association, the stories cause anartha nivritti. Then those stories cause nishta, then ruchi, etc., on up to prema. So what Vishwanath is saying here is that we must hear from pure devotee. One may begin hearing and chanting, and certainly will gain some benefit. However one might hear or see the Hare Krishna mantra, one will gain some benefit from it, no doubt. But real purification, real advancement in Krishna consciousness only comes through the association of a pure devotee. Then that pure devotional service, you know, really has gained strength. And one grows and develops in its Krishna consciousness. So we were just basically fortunate, is all I can say. Just by some good fortune, we were all able to come in contact with Srila Prabhupada. So we heard Bhagavad Gita. We heard Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source. And we know the difference. Many of us, probably, I saw Bhagavad Gita and read other things from other people before I came into Srila Prabhupada. It had very little effect on me. I thought it was interesting. In fact, I even wanted to be able to appreciate it, but I didn't really get that much out of it. And of course, the opposite when reading Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita and purports. Then I became a devotee of Krishna from that hearing. So, I mean, a little more complex than that, but basically that's the beginning. When we hear from the pure devotee, we become attracted, our mind becomes satisfied, our intelligence becomes satisfied. That's the other thing. You can actually understand the philosophy. Understand, okay, this is my purpose of life. This is what it's about. This is the meaning of life. You know, in other words, those are the big questions that people ask. And they become satisfied by the guru, by the pure devotee of the Lord. And therefore, one continues and makes advancement on the path of devotional service. So it's very, very satisfying. And then, of course, going back to the point of what should we hear? All the Vedic literatures, of course, are very beneficial. But what we're hearing today is that Srimad Bhagavatam is most relishable. And Shukadeva Goswami, who we're discussing today, of course, is the one who delivered the Srimad Bhagavatam to us. Well, the Bhagavatam itself says, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God. In other words, Bhagavatam and Bhagavan are non-different. So, it's in other words, when we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we are directly associating with Krishna, just the same way when we chant Hare Krishna, we're directly associating with Krishna. The literary incarnation of God, and it's compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people. It is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. Kind of sums it up. And we never tire of hearing the pastimes of Krishna. I know some I was reading the other day that I hadn't really read those pastimes for some years, but they seem very new and very fresh. And Krishna's pastimes, when looking at them, they're just filled with everything. They're filled with adventure. You got battle. If you're inclined towards that, you got battles. You got killing demons, and you also got love stories. You know, you've got wonderful relationships of love between Krishna and his mother and father, between Krishna and the gopis, great friendships and play, adventure for Krishna and the coward boys. Everything is there, plus philosophy. And intertwined with all the pastimes we read of Krishna is the philosophical understanding of Krishna consciousness, of knowing the absolute truth. So everything is there, then the devotees can relish that. Prabhupada says in a purport to 10.1.13, even though advanced devotees hear continually about the Lord for years, they still feel that these topics are coming to them as newer and fresher. Therefore, such devotees cannot give up hearing of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And we all know that the Srimad Bhagavatam has been around now 5,000 years in written form, of course, spoken eternally on different planets and different universes or whatever. And but other books are on the bestseller list for, you know, a few weeks. They're on the New York Times books bestseller list. I guess I haven't looked at it for quite a while, for several years. But, you know, they come and they go, and they're on for a little bit, and then they drop, and people aren't interested, and they continually want to read something new. So we tire of all these things. There's a satiation effect. In other words, you're not satisfied anymore. You know, and you want to get something new, because you're not. It's kind of like if you ate lunch, and then by dinner time, you said, I'm hungry now, but you had a lunch. Wasn't that a good lunch? Yeah, it's good lunch. Well, why are you hungry? In other words, you know, you continually have to have more. So that's the difference between chanting and hearing, that we're satisfied. Think of the Hare Krishna mantra. Three words. Number one hit, the Vaishnavas, thousands of years. I was calculating, I just did this again this morning, and because once before in a class I said, if you chant 16 rounds a day, and of course there's 16 words and 16 names of Krishna and Radharani in the mantra, and so that's you're chanting, you know, you're chanting 108 names for each round and 16 rounds. So you're chanting, you know, your 1,728 mantras a day times 16, times 365 days in a year. How many names of God do you chant during the year?
I thought it was 25,000 every day.
What's that?
25,000
every day. Yeah, it's actually about 27,000 every day. You're right. You know, a lot of times they round it up. Like when they say you chant 100,000, 64 rounds is a little bit more than 100,000, you know, like that. So in other words, you're supposed to, I think, chant 25,000. So if you do 16 rounds, that makes up for a few that you missed. You don't chant. Anyway, so that you'd mumbled over, like we all do. So at any rate, it comes out to 10,091,520 names of Krishna each year.
Wow. 1 million?
10 million. Not 1 million. I thought it was 1 million. It's 10 million. I calculated it twice to make sure. And you all know I'm a statistics professor. I can, especially with a calculator, I can do
it. Can you say it one more time loud? Can you say it loudly one more time?
10,091,520 names a year. That's if you only chant 16 rounds a day.
Wow.
So, did you think, boy, was that boring? It was three words that I chanted 10 million times last year? No. No, we always talk about getting deeper into chanting, hearing better, relishing the name, right? It's something that grows and grows. And it's all about how we relate to Krishna and his names and how we hear and how we chant. So that's almost impossible to think of any material word or substance, anything that you could do that, right? Mm-hmm. It'd just be impossible. Think of whatever your favorite material thing is and say the words over and over 10 million times and over the next year. Not going to be the same, guaranteed. And so devotees, of course, we relish these literatures, read them over and over, at least we should. I'm not as good as others, but I'm totally unlike someone like Prahlada Nanda Swami, who's read the entire Bhagavad Gita over 300 times. I think he may have one of the records. Pranavinda probably has. But, you know, most of us aren't that avid of readers. But still, you know, we try to read as much as we can. It's always new and fresh. There's new things that we learn. How many times have you picked up a book and you read something, you know you read it before, and you go, I didn't know that was there. You know, like I just read this. I mean, I've read this before. I said, oh, I didn't realize that he spoke the Mahabharata. You know, just, we don't remember everything, so it's always something new, something that we learn. And there's another factor. We are growing and progressing. The more we hear and chant year after year, so we have deeper understanding and deeper realization. So we may be reading the same pastime or the same purport as Srila Prabhupada's, but we're understanding it on a deeper level, perhaps, than we did 5 years ago, right? Or we have new experiences and new realizations that come to us. So that's another way that it becomes always fresh and new. And that's the difference between spiritual material and sound, that it will enliven the soul. Now, let me take the opposite side here now. On the other hand, it's not as though there's just like three pastimes of Krishna that we talk about over and over and over again, is it? Krishna's pastimes are unlimited. Krishna is unlimited. His pastimes are so variegated. His incarnations are variated. He has so many different forms, incarnations, avatars, plenary portions, and he comes to earth and performs so many different pastimes that we read just a little bit about in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, and performs so many different pastimes. It's described that Ananta Shesha, with thousands of hooves and thousands of mouths, can recite Krishna's pastimes continually for millions of years and can never finish them all. Not repeating, right? In other words, it's a fathomless ocean of pastimes, of understanding of Krishna. And this continually enlivens the devotees and also enlivens Krishna. Krishna enjoys, it's not just that Krishna's saying, okay, I got to put out a new pastime, devotees are getting bored. No, Krishna is enjoying these pastimes. He's part of them. He's relishing the relationships of love, probably much more than his devotees are, because, you know, his capacity for loving relationships is so great. You know, it's really quite amazing. I was just reading that, I haven't gone back to the original, I have the book, the translation of Vishwanath, but Shivaram Swami, one of his books, was quoting it, this discussion about whether, well, that's a little bit different topic. The idea was, in other words, a devotee asked, you know, Krishna's in the heart of every single devotee or every single person. Krishna's Paramatma in every living entity within the heart, right? Within every atom. So when he's doing all of this and say you're having some trying to understand Krishna in your heart, but yet Krishna's over here dancing with the gopis or playing with his coward boys, kind of like, is it just the Paramatma feature or is it, you know, and it's explained, no, it's the same. I mean, obviously Paramatma is an expansion of Krishna, but he's not different. It's not that Krishna is different and Krishna is not aware of everything Paramatma is aware of. At the same time, he's totally just involved in experiencing the particular rasa that he's involved in with his devotees in Raja Leela. How does he do both? Well, I think the conclusion was it's pretty inconceivable that he does. So, you know, right? Krishna is able to do. He's able to create universes, be in your heart, and still be playing games with the coward boys, and absorbed in each one of them all at the same time. I can't even pretend to understand it. This is the vastness of God, of Krishna. And we get a little taste of all this from the Srimad Bhagavatam, of how he's able to do this and his greatness. Well, I wanted to give one example of his pastimes. Even the same pastimes aren't the same pastimes. In Brihadbhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami, towards the end, he gives several purports on verses from the Bhagavatam. They're really nice. So he has some of his 10th canto Bhagavatam purports there. And he explains at one point, he describes different pastimes. And he tells the pastimes a little differently sometimes. Like in one pastime with Kaliya, after he subdues the Kaliya serpent, you know how he dances on his hoods? Well, in one of the pastimes, Sanatana Goswami says he dances on the hoods with all the gopis and has the rasa dance on Kaliya's head. I mean, on Kaliya's head. Like, wow, that was pretty amazing. So in other words, he changes them up too. With the help of Yoga Maya, the pastimes will be a little bit different, a little bit changed. He'll do, they're just eternally there, eternally evolving, eternally, you know. And the other thing is he can do the same pastime and the devotees forget it, so it's new and fresh again. You know, like you might, you know, like when he's in Gokula on the earth planet, he leaves Vrindavan. When Akura takes in a Mathura, and he never actually returns to Vrindavan, but yet it's said he never leaves Vrindavan. That's a whole other philosophical discussion that we won't get into right now. But what happens in Goloka eternally? Can he? And when he's in Goloka Vrindavan, you know, eternally, he can't just leave Vrindavan and never come back. So what happens is they go through the past, according to Sanatana Goswami, they go through the pastime. He leaves to Mathura. Everyone's brokenhearted. They're devastated. Then he comes back. And they all feel good about it, and then he does it again later. In other words, his pastimes kind of keep going on, and they'll have, and then people forget that it, you know, it's sort of like Yoga Maya covers, then they forget, oh, we already did this one. You know, and it's like it goes on. Again, it's incredibly inconceivable. I think for myself, all I can do is just try to hear and appreciate these on whatever level I can and become enlivened by the greatness of Krishna. So, we need to hear the Bhagavatam, we also need to hear it from the right sources, we're saying. I'll just finish here with Bhagavatam 1.3.34, verse and purport. O learned Brahmins, when Shukadeva Goswami recited Bhagavatam there in the presence of Emperor Prickett, I heard from him with rapt attention, and thus by his mercy, I learned about, this must be Sutta, I learned the Bhagavatam from that great and powerful sage. Now I shall try to make you hear the same thing as I learned it from him and as I have realized it. Well, Prabhupada says, one can certainly see directly the presence of Lord Sri Krishna in the pages of Bhagavatam if one has heard it from a self-realized soul like Shukadeva Goswami. That is the secret of learning Bhagavatam. One has to learn Bhagavatam from the representative of Shukadeva Goswami and no one else if he wants to see Lord Sri Krishna in the pages. Okay? So, let's see anything else here. Oh, I've got a lot more here, but we're out of time. Okay, summary. The effects of hearing. Spiritual sound from pure devotee. It gives transcendental knowledge of the spiritual nature. The mind and intelligence are convinced. We understand philosophically the nature of things. It purifies the mind and heart of all of the material contamination. There's the purifying effect of hearing. Then thirdly, it attracts our mind to Krishna and his devotees. And this is confirmed by Narada Muni and Narada Pancharatra, which is quoted in Sri Chaitamrita and Nectar Devotion. It says, bhakti or devotional service means engages in all of our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One, he is freed from all material designations. In other words, he becomes spiritually enlightened, and one's senses are purified simply by being employed in the service of the Lord. So the senses are purified, our ignorance is destroyed, and thus the heart is able to become attractive to Krishna in the process of hearing from his pure devotees like Shukadeva Goswami. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there comments, questions? Another Madhumati. Get the microphone.
One clarification. You mentioned, by the way, thank you so much for the nice class. You mentioned that, is it in Goloka Vrindavan that they Krishna goes to Mathura and then comes back? Is that, you mentioned was in Goloka Vrindavan when he goes come back. That's nice.
Yes, Sanatana Goswami describes that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where we know when he's on earth, he never really comes. He keeps saying he's going to come back, but he doesn't actually come back, although they meet him in Kurukshetra, but he never actually comes back to Vrindavan.
The question was that, is it in Goloka Vrindavan that Krishna leaves Vrindavan, goes to Mathura, then comes back to Vrindavan?
In Goloka.
Is it in Goloka?
In Goloka, not in Gokula. There's devotees like the Kurus. I mean, there's the ones that are in Dwarka, his relatives like that, and then there's the Vrindavan ones, and they have separate rasas, different rasas.
That's what demarcation is given.
Yeah. But he's
one Krishna goes like often from.
No, he's in all of them at once. Yes, but he's. No, I'm just. This was just an example. But he does do that pastime of leaving Vrindavan just to increase the love of the Vrajavasis.
But he never leaves.
In one sense, he never leaves. He's always,
right. Because Prabhupada even added a one word. Also in the Pushka Prabhu. Pava ekam na gachat. The word says that he doesn't go one step outside. Prabhupada added one word in his lecture. He said, one step never outside Vrindavan. This is my teaching to...
No, I understand. But still the residents experienced that he was leaving and felt heartbroken. And that's in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah, that's in Aparva. Within Vrindavan. In this Leela, yes, Krishna went this. But in Aparva Leela, the Krishna has a manifested, there's a proposal, in chamber. Within Vrindavan, there's many chambers. Mm. The Krishna is visible and not visible. Both are there.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I understand that. Yeah, that he's visible, not visible, and sometimes he can become visible in the heart, even if he's not there physically. I guess you would say, although it's not. I don't know. I'm getting lost.
Me too. And whatever Krishna's pastimes is just amazing. That's all we can think.
Yeah.
One reflection I had as you were speaking about getting a taste about the pastimes, and I was thinking that. Personally, in my own Krishna consciousness, I've just always heard the Srimad Bhagavatam class. And I was thanking Srila Prabhupada for arranging this regular Srimad Bhagavatam class. And just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class, not having my own personal reading, to be honest, although now I do, but I do now because I think Srila Prabhupada arranges Bhagavatam every day, and that definitely develop some taste to actually hearing Krishna's pastimes.
Yeah.
And you just do it every day, even if it's a little bit, 40, 20, 25, 30 minutes that we hear in the Bhagavatam class, and give the taste to actually wanting to hear more of Krishna's pastimes.
Yeah, that's actually a fact. And I remember particularly in my early years, like every day being in Bhagavatam class, I mean, devotees who hear class regularly usually have a pretty good grasp of the philosophy, too, don't they?
I mean,
you get it. You know, well, I know you have a lot more than that, but you do get a good understanding and developing that taste, as you're saying, just by hearing it. And that's how powerful it is. Because I only speaking for myself, I'm just saying those of us who are speaking, it's not like we're some great devotee. But it's just, that's how powerful it is, because we're trying to repeat what we've heard from Srila Prabhupada, who is a great devotee, a pure devotee, and so something comes through from the pages of the Bhagavatam, and especially if there's receptive hearers. I mean, that's how powerful it is. And I think the other thing that's nice about the Bhagavatam class is, even though we're all of us, at least myself, very limited in our realizations and our understanding, we do our best, but every speaker, has some realization or something they add or some understanding a little bit different. Like, you could take some of these purports and you'd have, 10 different speakers would give 10 different classes. Like class I gave was kind of way off topic. No, but I mean, it was, in other words, I pick out one line, and now another speaker might pick out a different, something different to speak upon. So I think Srila Prabhupada understood this, and it's also the idea of hearing together. It's all part of Sankirtan, the hearing and chanting together. And it is, it's a very important process, part of Sadhu Sangha, the association of devotees. Yeah, thanks for that plug for regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It's really important for all of us to do that. And now, of course, we have the opportunity that, in fact, I think some people are hearing the Bhagavatam class more, because, online. They're home. If they're not, many of us don't come to temple regularly for obviously reasons of COVID. But, you can hear it so easily on the internet, and I don't think it's exactly the same, but it's pretty good. I mean, it's a good substitute, Okay. Was there anything else we can... Okay, turn the
mic. Also thinking like each speaker has a particular confessionality. What I was observing your, I would say, accommodating the trouble of a lot of devotees keeping up of
daily sadhana and to understand the word of Prabhupada, sometimes not appealing to their practical in their life at that time. Mm-hmm. Like one example, thinking or chanting Krishna's name 24 hours a day. And I remember you repeated at least 3 times in the last 2-3 years.
You can remember something.
That's how I'm seeing it. He said that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember exactly what he said. He said, 24 hours means every day.
Yeah.
And it was such a nice conclusion. I mean, I can relate to that. Okay, every day is good.
Yeah.
But 24 hours, like, what does that mean?
We're grateful for Vishwanath, right?
Well, I'm grateful to you too, well, because you found it, I would say, nice way.
Yeah, and actually, Vishwanath says, because if it was really means you had to wish every moment, he said new devotees would just become discouraged, because none of us can do that. But, he said, but if at least we think about daily, like hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam class, you know, then we're, and Prabhupada say that, if you do the morning program, is you're set for the day. He used to say that, you know, it's like, you know, you chant your rounds, you hear, you do the morning program, and then you're, in fact, it's even more than just set for that. In my initiation letter, which I haven't always followed perfectly, which is pretty bad, but Prabhupada said that we all had to rise early in the morning, go to Mangalarti, chant, and I don't know if he mentioned going to class, or hear Srimad Bhagavatam, said, or we must, he said, or he was talking, it was the letter was to the temple president. He said, make sure all these devotees are doing these things, he said, or they must fall down. He didn't say there's a chance. He said they will, like they must. We will fall down if we're not attentive to our sadhana.
Yeah, it's a similar part.
I mean, it's pretty clear.
Yeah, similar purport in Madhulila 24th chapter in the middle. Prabhupada said the same thing. If you don't read all these books and do your daily sadhana, they will sleep, eat, sleep, and fall down.
Yeah,
that's what it's like. Similar.
And we always have to remember, sometimes it seems difficult. I know, some devotees, I remember there was one young woman in our community, I don't know, some of you may remember, that I can tell it because she was public. You know, she had been struggling to chant 16 rounds for like a few years, and finally she was able to do it, and she was taking initiation from Radhanath Swami. Were some of you there when I don't want to say her name here, but she, and, you know, and it says, and you know, when you always ask, you know, what are your vows? Little chant 16 rounds, like somehow or another, and Rana Swami said, it's not that bad. he was laughing, like, you know, come on. You know, it's not like you've got to eat leaves for 12,000 celestial years, like Kashyapa Muni. So we have to keep things in perspective.
You know, so I appreciate your another point. I mean, many things you have done. One thing also I appreciate that at least twice in a couple of years I heard that when someone commit offense, I'm paraphrasing, but you repeated the same thing. It was so nice. It's finally, it's like affected me. You know? Even though I read it, but I didn't get it. I mean, I read it, I understood, but it didn't stay. But the way you made it, that if somebody commit offense, he should go to that person. And if it's not working, then he should do something that that person will be seeing. And you can, yeah, don't just take shelter of holy name without doing all this.
Mm-hmm.
It was very nicely the way, and then everything fails, then you take shelter of holy name.
Well, that was straight from Madhurya Kandambani.
Correct.
Yeah.
But you put it in a way that you hammered it a couple of times, so I appreciate it. Every speaker has a very unique
particular
things.
Thank you.
I also want to, and oh, you have something? Puri, you want to say something?
Well, if you have something quickly, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, I just wanted to say that Krishna has unlimited pastime, as you mentioned, like this. But at the same time, I noticed Prabhupada's comment to Pushkar Prabhu's painting, that he speculated, and Prabhupada said, so what is this pastime? So, well, there's so many pastimes. He said, yes, unlimited. Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna is unlimited, but you are limited.
Yeah.
So we should not just speculate.
Pick up something and say, oh, Krishna probably does this.
Yeah. So we have to, also when we focus on Krishna pastime, it has to have a backup, reference.
Yeah, it needs to be authorized.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I was going to
say something else about Shukadeva Goswami, you know, that I've always heard about his real identity, but I actually don't know where it is in Shastra, so I'm not going to say it. I mean, I'm sure it's there, but I didn't know it, so I'm not going to say something that I don't have authoritative, you know. Yeah, but you, absolutely. Okay, I'll get kind of over here.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, nice class, thank you very much. I just want to add one thing. You said about new things, new leelas, new pastimes are a little, they keep on evolving, you said. And there's one very nice Vaishnava song about Lord Chaitanya, how he does everything in new way. He wears his garment in new, fresh way every day. That's part of the new Vaishnava song.
I'm sorry, he did what every day?
His cloth that he wears, Lord Chaitanya, he wears in a new style every day.
Wear a new style.
You know that song?
Yeah, Sarvabhava Bhattacharya.
What's the name of
the
song?
Chaitanya.
Sarvabhava
Bhattacharya?
Okay.
It's by Chaitanya.
Okay. Anyway, yeah.
Remember,
most of our audience is online. So use
I have a, one very nice, because you mentioned about Kaliya's pastor. And many years back, I remember, a couple of decades back, there was some question raised in San Diego. I used to live in San Diego back in those days. San Diego was the hub of Mukunda Maharaj, Umapati Maharaj. When I came there in late 80s,
yeah.
Umapati Maharaj, Jayadeva Maharaj, we had a 3-4 sannyasi stays there, lived there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had a DBT, DTG, so many things were there. So I remember every day class was very heavy. And one day, the discussion came that all the good position in spiritual world is taken. So it's kind of depressing, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you can't be Madhishoda, you can't be Lalita.
But then we found a reference in Sanatan Goswami Path. He said, no, that's not true. Krishna has unlimited, and he has a very particular, very unique and special for each conditioned soul. And the example is Kaliya. Because Garuda and Kaliya, they are enemy apparently, because he, out of fear, he came to Vrindavan, Jamuna, of Garuda, because that's the only place Garuda could not come. Or he could come, but he was not come because Sobari Muni cursed him. So Kaliya went all over the universe, could not find a shelter except that spot where Garuda was cursed by Sobari Muni. Anyhow, the story goes, but the question is, Kaliya is a conditioned soul, and Garuda is the eternal devotee. Garuda never carried the gopis or brajabasis on his body, only carried Narayana. But Kaliya, in Bihag Bhagavatam Mita says, that had a dance, Rasalila dance with the gopis. And he expanded hoods, so many hoods, after he became, of course, liberated soul. And Kaliya is also another demon, that who never changed the body. All the demons came to Vrindavan, they died and they changed their body. Kaliya never changed his body. Krishna made it spiritualized and it became Satchidananda. Mm. Because I was researching on this, what is the difference between Satchidananda and spiritualized body, liberated body, all this, Prabhupada's body, is this Satchidananda or not Satchidananda, spiritualized, what does that mean? It's very satisfactory. And it says that Kaliya's body became such a phenomenon that Krishna actually pulled all the gopis one by one, and they all came, billions of gopis dance on his feet. And he was a conditioned soul. He got it actually more than Garuda, who is eternal, Nitya Siddha.
Yeah, that's, well, yeah, these are all good examples. And, I mean, you have to remember that Krishna expands, and like sometimes they talk about Krishna has millions of cows, or there are thousands and thousands of cows. Well, there are. I was just reading one the other day, a pastime, that when he goes and he's bringing the cows in and he pets a cow, every single cow thinks Krishna is there with him, penning. So every cow has an individual relationship. And I think, and then the one thing you were quoting about, that it is a unique relationship with every individual soul. I remember that's in Sanatana Goswami's purport in Tim Canto and the Brahma's Prayers, chapter 14.
10.14.7.
Yeah, yeah, 7. Yeah, that's a really interesting.
Yeah, I'm facing it. I'm like already happy about it.
Yeah, yeah.
What is
it? Well, Sanatana Goswami says in 10.14.7, in a purport to that. Vishnath quotes it also.
Each soul has a unique quality.
Yeah, so he says, Krishna has a unique quality that he manifests with every single soul. In other words, there's a unique relationship, and Krishna manifests for that individual soul.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. I mean, Krishna's mercy and Krishna's love for us is way beyond what we can imagine. Okay, we should end. Thank you so much.
Nice.
Very satisfactory.
Nice. There are some comments, no question, comments. Very nice class. Some others say, I want to achieve my more than 10 million Krishna names every year. That was a nice point, I never forget. You say 10 million, 96
now? No. Something like it.
961,000.
96 or
97? 10,961,000.
You can get your calculator. I don't know. It was over 10 million.
This is exciting. I never thought of that.
Well, when you think of, like, you remember Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj's vow to do 10 million
names
over 10 years, was it, or something?
Anyway,
that presents doing, 192 rounds a day. You know, like,